Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said in today's gospel reading, "By your endurance you will gain your lives. And when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." These are our texts. Though not officially a wonder of the ancient world, the temple in Jerusalem was close. It was right up there with the Great Pyramid and the Hanging Gardens of Babylon and the Colossus of Rhodes and all the others. The temple was impressive, that impressive, and that marvelous. Built with such noble stones and memorial offerings, it looked like it would last forever. I imagine as the disciples and Jesus stood looking at the temple, it would have been a bit like if one of us were to go visit the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris. The feeling would be similar. This will be here forever. But Jesus doesn't marvel as he's looking at the temple. Oh, he sees the stones and he sees the offerings too, but he also sees more. He sees how they'll all be thrown down, not one stone left standing on another. And he sees that this is going to happen soon, within a generation of when he saw the temple. And he sees also a number of other horrors, the appearance of false Christs who would deceive, wars and earthquakes and famines and pestilences, the full destruction of Jerusalem, Christians persecuted and martyred. And then all nature groaning before the end of the world. It's terrifying. When I hear this, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to plug my ears, and I'd like to curl up into fetal position, and I'd like to just pull that blanket really close and sing myself a song. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to see these things. I don't want to know about all that's coming. I don't want to experience that. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? But Jesus doesn't tell us these things to frighten us. He sees clear through to the end. He sees through the cross and the violence and the suffering. He sees through to the life of the world to come. And he teaches us to do the same. It's as if Jesus today lovingly pulls back the blanket and peels your fingers out of your ears, gently lifts your chin, and says, looking you in the eye, "Look up. Your redemption is drawing near." And as we look up today, we're going to look up and see what is behind us and what is right in front of us and what is coming. So look up, and what do you see? Behind us, having gone before us, having trod the path that we are now on, we see Christ and the apostles and all the saints. We see our Lord's cross and we see their crosses. We see our Lord's suffering and death and we see their sufferings and deaths for his name's sake. You know, Jesus doesn't mince words when he talks about what's going to happen to his disciples, how greatly they must suffer for being Christians. But there's one thing I always notice, that what the disciples will go through sounds an awful lot like what Jesus went through. He says, "They will lay their hands on you and persecute you. You'll be imprisoned and brought before kings and governors. Bear witness. You'll be handed over even by family members and close friends. Some of you will be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake." And when we look behind us, we see that this is exactly what happened to the disciples. Those who lived right before and some during and a few after the destruction of Jerusalem, when it was trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. And you're probably wondering, Pastor, just how is that meant to be an encouragement to us? The suffering and persecution and martyrdom of the Christians who have gone before us. It's a reminder that whatever we suffer, we aren't alone, and we aren't the first. There are others who have gone this way before us, and they have endured. There's the great cloud of witnesses who surrounds us, and they received great, exceedingly great and precious promises from God, and so have we. They trusted Jesus to the end. I picture it a bit like this: Jesus as the one leading the charge. He's their banner carrier. He's out in front waving the flag. And they marched behind, so that whatever happened to them first had to happen to Jesus. The hatred, the betrayal, the arrest, the suffering, the dying. And they knew what came next, and you know it too. The third day, with Jesus, we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And that's why Jesus said to them, "But not a hair of your head will perish." That's really a marvelous and amazing statement. Not a single hair. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered, and God intends to give you an accounting for everyone in the resurrection. And you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar, and when they came out, the hairs of their heads weren't singed. They came through the fire, alive and unharmed. Now, Jesus doesn't deny, and he doesn't sugarcoat the suffering that his followers will go through, the suffering that you have or are or will go through. We know the world, the devil, and our sinful nature are against us, and we know that there are crosses to bear. There are rough crosses and heavy crosses and crosses that we lug with us all the way to the grave. But not alone. Never alone. And none of your crosses as heavy as his cross. His cross on which he carried the sin of the entire world and your sin as well. And I know that that desire to curl up into fetal position and pull the blanket over my head is never greater than in those times when I'm dealing with the guilt of sin. But our Lord has taken it away by his cross. He carried all of your sin on his back. He was the stone that the builders rejected, but he has become the cornerstone of a new and a living and an eternal temple. And you, dear Christian, are built on Jesus. You were joined to Jesus by the mortar of holy baptism, brought tight with your Lord. You are cemented to him by the Holy Communion as you receive his body and blood into your mouth. And even when the end of the world comes, we can persevere and stand our ground built into Jesus. And as the end draws near, we pray that he would rule and guide our hearts and minds by his Holy Spirit. And we hold fast to his word by which he says, "By your endurance you will gain your lives." By standing against sin, death, and the devil, and holding fast to Jesus. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. And as often as we struggle with this faith, we come again to hear his word and to receive his gifts and to be renewed in faith, not by digging deeper inside ourselves, but by what Jesus says and does and gives to us. So that's what's behind us. The disciples and Christ who endured on the way and are an example for us to follow. But what happens when we look up, when he pulls our heads up right here in front of us now? Look up now, and what do we see? We see this new day that God has given us. And we see the people that he's put in front of us, those who are next to us, or whom we will see throughout this day. You know what happens if you keep your ears plugged and you stay in fetal position and you have that blanket pulled up? You miss the very things that God has for you today. You miss the gifts that He has for you this day, and you miss the people that He would bring into your life to serve you and for you to serve. So how are we to live in view of the end, in view of all those things that Jesus lays out? What should we do as we see the signs of His coming and as the day draws near? Jesus says, live in this day. Keep working. Do what is in front of you. Don't drop your tools just because you know He's coming. Keep doing what He gives you to do until He stands right in front of you. There's a story told about Martin Luther. I've never heard that it's actually been verified, so it may be one of those legends, but it's a good one nonetheless. It's said that he was once asked what he would do today if he knew that the world was going to end tomorrow. Would he pull the blanket over his head? Would he curl up in fetal position? Would he just stand there waiting for it to happen? No. He'd plant an apple tree. An apple tree. He'd just keep doing what he was given to do that new day. And that's enough. He'd do the work that was in front of him. He would serve his neighbors, the ones that God put in front of him. And he would carry out that work in the hope of the resurrection and the life of the world to come. So one of the things that Jesus encourages us and the scriptures encourage us here is that as we see the end drawing near, we deal with what we have in front of us today. Leave tomorrow for him. The Lord is faithful, and he will establish and guard you against the evil one. This is what we heard in the epistle reading. The Holy Spirit through St. Paul commanding Christians not to be idle, but to be busy and active in love and in work. But it's so hard to love when the blanket is pulled over your head. So Jesus pulls it down. He says, look at your neighbors. Love and serve them. Do your work quietly. Earn your own living as you are able. Do not grow weary in doing good, but pursue the good. Live faithfully within your vocations. Receive your daily bread with thanksgiving. Do this despite the end. And because you know that the end is coming, and you know who is coming. Remember that these things that God gives you today are short-term assignments, so plant that apple tree and do your work. And that's exactly what our Lord did when he lived in the flesh. He came and he lived and he worked faithfully on your behalf, and he never grew weary of doing good, not even when the good meant a cross on his back. And he hasn't grown weary of doing good for you yet. He does good for you still. Even now, he intercedes with you with the Father. And even now, he gives you access to the heavenly throne. And even now, he brings you with him into the heavenly places, even right here in the church. And now, what lies ahead? Look up again, and what do we see? We see him coming soon. The Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. The very one who paid for your sins by his death on the cross. The very one who defeated death and the devil. The very one who withstood the world and all that it would throw at him. The one who ascended on high to prepare a place for you. He is coming soon. He will return visibly, and every eye will see him, and every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow. Dear brothers and sisters, this is how we endure. Not by digging deep within ourselves, but by looking to him, with our eyes lifted up to see his cross, by holding fast to our Lord and clinging to our God. And we learn to do this through his word. We are encouraged to do this through his word. We are drawn to hold to him as we hear his promises. And that's why we gather here today, waiting for his return, expecting his return, and living from his coming to us now by his word and sacraments. Jesus says about all the horrors that he describes, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. His coming is your redemption. The final deliverance from this valley of sorrow when he takes you to himself in heaven. And as we wait, we say with Job, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth, and my redemption is drawing near. He is coming, dear Christian. He who redeemed you with his own holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, he is coming soon for you. Wait for him. Hope in him. So look up, dear brothers and sisters. Look up and see those who have gone before. Look up and see those who are standing right in front of you now. And look up and see the one who is coming soon, even your Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look up here, you see what he offers you. He gives you his forgiveness, and he gives you his body and his blood, given and shed for you, and he gives you his holy and precious word and promises. When I find myself wanting to curl up in that fetal position, there's nothing like God's word and his promises, like the crucifix and the image of our Redeemer, to pull my head right up and see the redemption that is drawing near. So hold fast to him, dear brothers and sisters, for you are built on the rock who is Christ himself, and the house that is built on the rock can never be washed away, but you will live and abide in him forever. And now may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ until we see him with our own eyes. Amen.